Please be seated. And turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 99. Psalm 99. We'll start out here as the metrical version we're going to sing in a few minutes starts out. Jehovah reigns, let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name, he is holy. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them a God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Let's take a few minutes to think on some things here. If you've got a new King James, you'll see that the translators and editors have added a little heading here. There is nothing of a heading in the original Hebrew. It says, Praise to the Lord for his holiness. And that's an apt little header there, for that's what this is ultimately about. Talks about the triune God, Jehovah, the covenant God who reigns, who rules over all things. He does so not in some sort of arbitrary way, but he does so according to his character, which is holy, and that is exalted and mentioned several times here, of course. He always rules according to his holy will, so that he is able to do all things he wills to do, and all that he wills to do is holy. So it is that everyone and everything must yield to him, must give him proper reverence. A little bit of, well, comfort, I would suppose, for everyone who reads this, is the fact that he is called Jehovah. He is the covenant God. We see him first called that in verse 1, but it's repeated and repeated and repeated. And we see in the very first verse something that should give us great comfort. He dwells between the cherubim. That is, he is there at the most holy place in the temple. He is there in the midst of his people. He is there at the Ark of the Covenant. He is there at that place which is called the Mercy Seat, where blood is shed once a year, the blood of atonement by the high priest. All this is highly significant of the fact that we are looking at Jesus Christ, the one of whom these things were merely types, shadows, and forms. He is the reality. And he does the real work of atoning for the sin of his people. It is not something that needs to be repeated year by year, for he said in almost his very last words, it is finished. And so he is Jehovah God in the second person, of course, and he is the one who dwells in between the cherubim. He is Emmanuel, God with us, in the midst of his people. And all that's talked about here with Jehovah is about Jesus Christ. He is worthy then of our praise. He is worthy of all the, well, we might say all the yielding and all the obeisance of all the earth. Whether we're talking about the natural things, trees and forests, rivers and streams, lakes and oceans, mountains and plains, but the peoples as well. He is a God who loves justice, and he is called here the king, for not only is he a priest, but he is a king, as we sometimes sing from Psalm 110. He who is holy establishes justice or equity, and he brings about justice and righteousness in the midst of his people there who are called Jacob. It's not for nothing that the psalmist, whoever it is moved by the Spirit of God to say, "Exalt Jehovah our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy." Now, as we're looking at all things, we then move to looking at his interaction with his people. And even as he is the one who at one time, at the time this was written, was dwelling there in the midst of the cherubim, we then look at Moses and Aaron, the prophets. We look at, the priests in a way. And then Samuel, the prophet. Here are two offices which Jesus himself fulfills in their most grand way. And God spoke to them. God moved them. God works for his people. God works through his people. And not just God in particular, God in general, in his unity. But in particular, our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead. He answered. Jehovah answered. He was to them God who forgives. There we can say this is the case in all three persons of the Holy Trinity. All three persons of Jehovah our God. For the Father in eternity planted out. The Son gladly in eternity took this responsibility upon himself and in the proper time came to earth to live, to die, to be raised again, and then to ascend into heaven for the sake of his people. And the Spirit, in this grand plan formed in eternity, was determined to take the once-for-all work of Jesus Christ and apply it to the hearts of his people. He is indeed God who forgives, for he has done so through the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. He indeed took vengeance on their deeds, but he took that vengeance upon himself. It is no wonder when we think of plain gospel truths, and we think of them with the renewed hearts that we have been given, that we exalt Jehovah our God. That is, children, we praise him, we thank him for all this goodness that he's shown to us. We worship at his holy hill. We're doing so right now, even though we're in the so-called black swamp country of Ohio. We are at his holy hill. We're at the New Testament Zion. We are here as the living stones composing the temple, the New Testament temple of God. Worship at his holy hill, for Jehovah our God is holy. Well, let's sing from Psalm 99 now. We're going to sing, I believe, the entirety of it using portion C.